The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you. You gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me, I have given to them. And they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world while I am coming to you. The Gospel of the Lord. As we get close to Pentecost, we hear Jesus praying. We hear Jesus praying. Romans chapter 8, we hear Paul saying, I don't know how to pray as I ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So today I'd like to talk about what we should pray for. What we should pray for. Matthew 7:7. Ask. Seek. Knock. Whoever asks, whoever seeks. Okay, there you have it. That's Matthew 7:7. First thing we should pray for, and this is Thomas Aquinas, is to pray for the salvation of our soul. There's nothing more important than that. And he says we should pray for our own salvation. Remember years ago speaking with a person who said, I never pray for myself because that's selfishness. I only pray for others. That's a good way to get yourself into hell. It is. That's a good way to get into hell. If we don't pray for ourselves, we are lost. We're all very weak. We're all very vulnerable. And as St. Therese says, all the most heinous, hideous sins of all humanity, I could commit them and you too. Save the grace of God. As Philip Neri said, there go I, save the grace of God, as he saw a bum on the street. So constantly we have to be praying for our own salvation. Second, Our Lady Fatima, Our Lady Lourdes. Pray and offer up sacrifices for the conversion of sinners. Most of you have read at least parts of the Diary of St. Faustina, right? What is the prayer most pleasing to Jesus in the diary? The conversion and salvation of souls. Time and time again, Jesus tells St. Faustina, when someone is dying, pray for that person, that he will trust in my mercy. So that's a very pleasing prayer to God. We're praying not only for our own salvation, but we're praying for the conversion and salvation of sinners. A third prayer that's very pleasing to God is that of reparation. Reparation means we beg God for mercy for sinners, but to repair for the many sins of the world. The teaching of the Sacred Heart with St. Margaret Mariella Cook. You can do it in this Mass. It's called a communion of reparation. So I'm offering this Mass as a secondary intention in reparation for all of my sins, but also in reparation for all of your sins, as well as in reparation for all the sins of the people in the parish. That's my intention in the Mass. I think that prayer is very pleasing to God, I think. What do you think? Because the Mass is so powerful. If we only understood the power of the Mass, we would die of love. We would. If any young men would only think about that, they'd all want to be priests, I think. They'd understand the profound mystery of Mass is a great means of our salvation. Then another important prayer intention would be to pray for the souls in purgatory. Pray for the souls in purgatory. If I had your funeral Mass, would you like me to canonize you? Would you like an unofficial canonization process to be done in your Mass? Would you? Hello? Oh, you want me to canonize you in your Mass, huh? To make holy cards and statues too, to pass out to the people? If you've ever been at my funeral Masses, I try to be kind, but I don't canonize anyone. I think one of the funerals that I did in which the person was probably very close to God, I believe, was my father. I did not canonize him. And I would joke around with him before he died. I said, Dad, you know, when you die, I'll do your Mass and I'll just say you're in heaven. Son, don't even go that way, huh? No. Only God knows where the souls that have passed away are. Only God knows. St. Claude de la Colombier had to go to purgatory for a short time. Why? Because he was too attached to living. Wow. He was too attached to living, and God wanted him to pass away. He was too attached to life. That had to be purified. What about us, pobrecitos, huh? So praying for the souls in purgatory is always something very pleasing to God. And finally, there are so many intentions that we should pray for. But I'm going to tell you something that maybe you never thought about. But pray for the grace to grow in your prayer life until you die. Amen? I think that that's one of the most important prayer intentions in the world. You people pray, don't you? But sometimes our prayer life starts to decline as the sun is going down to 7:30 in the evening. Use a poetic image for you. Sometimes our prayer life declines. We lose fervor. We lose the fire. We lose the passion for Christ. So let's beg for the grace. Beg the Holy Spirit that He'll give us an ardent desire to grow in our prayer life until we're in heaven. Amen.